All right. We're good.
So I linked it to brushing my teeth.
That's good. That's great. Great. And how did that work?
Well, I'm doing it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put the papers that I have it written on in the cupboard next to my toothbrush, and I just pull them out and read them after I brush my teeth.
Oh, that's fantastic. And what's that been like, reading your vision? What have you noticed?
Well, the first part's all about how I've been successful at planning my day and sticking with the plan and so on. So I think it's what's happened so far is it has served as a reminder that is what I need to be doing.
Beautiful. And anything else while you're sharing? Any other wins or things that you've noticed from the week?
Well, we had I took 2 days to help the band get started with their uniforms.
Uh-huh.
And so that was, that's just something that's important to me, to be there and help out, and so my daughter knows I'm involved and so on. And we needed shelving in the uniform room, so I suggested, that we look into getting some shelving, and we were actually able to make that happen yesterday. So that's a big win for the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really pleased that I was able to make that happen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And Cynthia, what the wins have you or noticing has been there for you this week?
I went to took my mother to her family reunion, but instead of dreading it, I just looked forward to it, and we had a good time. It's a 6-hour drive, just driving part. And so it was nice to have time to spend with her instead of thinking about what else I need to be doing or whatever. I was present in the moment. And I got a lot done in the hotel as opposed to, doing anything else. I'm up to date on all my CDs. So I can tell you the joke about coming out from under the bed in my sleep. And I've also started doing the routine in the morning, doing something that's set like they had suggested, starting the day off with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, I've gotten more done, but also been following a plan. So those are both wins for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Right. All right. One of the things that Dodi shared that I really find very effective for me too, and it was the linking of the reading of your vision with brushing your teeth.
Oh.
And I as a way to put the vision in a, to put reading into a structure that already exists. So there are structures in our lives that are pretty much non-negotiable. Toothbrushing is one of them. For me, my morning shower is one of them. I can predict that that's going to happen. And I don't really think about it. I have other reminders that help me. Anyway, I love to call those anchors, particularly physical anchors in our life, I love to call them on-ramps. because we really have the opportunity to slide other things along onto those on-ramps that already exist, onto those structures in our life that already exist. And so I want to acknowledge you, Dodi. Congratulations. That's a really awesome tool to use for incorporating new practices into already existing structures. Good work. Good work. Let's go ahead now, and I'll read a little bit of a summary for from last week, and then kind of check in on how last week's information and lesson showed up this week for you. So last week we looked at the second stumbling block when you get into the gap, the space between where you are now and your vision. What we noticed last week was a sense of lack, limitation, or scarcity that is in the gap and can stop us from moving forward. And we turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone, because we can use that stumbling block as an opportunity to expand our giving whenever we feel lack. So there's a shift in intention and a subsequent shift in energy when we take on practices that are about circulation and the flow of abundance. So one of the practices we talked about was blessing everything that we have. We also talked about giving in the area where we feel the greatest lack. So if we're feeling a lack of money, to give money. Or if we're feeling a lack of love, to give love. And the third thing was to celebrate someone else who has the kind of abundance we want to experience. So looking at others in the world as role models of abundance, and also looking at people that surround us, the closest people within our circle who demonstrate that sense and beingness of abundance. So would anybody like to share what are some of the things you noticed or actions you took around abundance and or things that interrupted any sense of lack, limitation, or scarcity? Anybody?
For me, it was the blessing what I have. For example, the time that I got to spend with my mother instead of thinking about the drive.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my biggest takeaway. Mm-hmm. Was just looking at things, not a Pollyanna attitude, mm-hmm. but really looking at, you know, the blessings that I have, mm-hmm. which are many.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. Anybody mm-hmm. else?
Well, I think that that's something I still have to work on.
Okay. And what, are there any questions there, Dodi, about support or questions about, when you say work on that, how can I support you?
Well, you know, one of the problems I still have is fitting everything in, and I tend to think of this type of activity, if you want to call it that, as mm-hmm. Something I just need to do, but probably I need to go ahead and put it down in the day's calendar, the day's plan, along with everything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one option. What else could be an option for gratitude, blessings, awareness? What else might be another option? And, you know, like just brainstorming in addition to scheduling it in the calendar.
Well, it's not so much that particular thing, the gratitude, the attitude, that type of thing. It's mm-hmm. the fact that once I leave the call, I tend to just let it sit in the back of my mind rather than actively working on it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why it was important to link the reading my vision to brushing my teeth, because other than that, I would think about it at random moments, but I didn't really give it attention.
Yes. Yes. And in your daily activities, what's a way to bring blessing in, abundance, that sense of abundance, into your life, your days? What's another way that might another possibility for you?
I'm not really sure.
Okay, all right. Well, that, and that's a great place to be. And one of the things, how about if I share some practices that I like, is, and this is practice like going to a gym. So it's not our normal way of being to look for things from the perspective of gratitude and abundance. Just not a normal way of being. And so this is like going to the gym and noticing when you can. So one of the things that I do is when something happens that I'm not especially fond of, and that may be somebody pulling out in front of me in a car, maybe stubbing my toe, and maybe that the coffee gets cold before I drink it. You know, it can be very simple things. But what I've anchored, much like you've anchored your vision to brushing your teeth, I initially, when I started out with abundance in the conversation, I anchored experiencing abundance to something, whatever I would experience throughout the day, that was the opposite of that. So, like the examples that I gave. So, as a possibility to have it work in your life, that might be something to look at. And you may notice throughout the week, because I'm going to invite you to stay in that inquiry, like what's the anchor for abundance so that it fits into your life, that it occurs as a gift in your life, something that shifts your energy up versus another to-do. Because the intention of this course is not to give you another to-do. The intention is to have an energy shift upwards in your day, one or hundreds of times. And that's practice. Kind of look at, or something else that works for you in your life that you can anchor that feeling to of abundance. So what do you think of that?
Okay. I mean, I can understand the concept.
Okay.
But can you expand a little bit on, okay, so you stub your toe, and how do you transform that?
Mm-hmm. great question. And I use anytime I'm transforming something, my body, and quite honestly, what comes out of my mouth, not always a pleasant word, especially if I'm alone, is a reminder. So I stub my toe, my body tells me, you know, it obviously tells me I'm in some pain, I'm frustrated, and those are, and I may say something, and I may even say, ouch, you know, it, you can imagine. And I then use that as a trigger to shift. And really it is a very conscious shift. I envision like a fork in the road. I can go down the path I always have of this is a disruption, or I'm, you know, I'm frustrated with the fact that I did this yet one more time, whatever that may be, whatever that judgment is. Or I can choose to bless it. Bless the fact I have a toe. Bless the fact that it's not broken. I don't think it is, right? Bless the fact that I have a piece of furniture or whatever it was that I stubbed my toe on. So there's simply a conscious shift. The thing that triggers it is an experience in my body, for me, in the example of the toe. In the example of traffic, it's whatever that is. Maybe somebody pulls out in front of me and there's that adrenaline surge. And so that's the trigger. Ooh, when I feel that, I can be grateful in the abundance we didn't crash. You kind of get the idea? So what do you think? Was that helpful?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful. All right. Thank you both. So moving on, this week is about the second thing in the, actually third thing in the gap that can get in the way of us achieving our dream and living our dream. And that is forgiveness. And many people believe that there just aren't things that are worthy of forgiveness. That, you know, there are people, as talked about in the recording piece, people do some really awful things that don't seem worthy of forgiveness. And maybe you felt that way about things that happened to you or things that happened to others. And I want to draw the distinction that forgiveness is not the same as thinking that it's okay. There's a distinction there. You can forgive and still believe that thing, whatever happened, was wrong or inappropriate or, you know, whatever. It doesn't mean you're welcoming that experience. One of the important things to remember about forgiveness is that as long as there is someone, anyone, jailed in prison, there has to be a jailer. Let me repeat that. As long as there is someone jailed, there has to be a jailer. So whenever there is an absence of forgiveness, both parties are in jail energetically. Forgiveness frees the one that is in jail, but more importantly, frees the jailer. So if I am resisting forgiveness, and I'll share a story a little bit later about that, I'm the one that's also in jail. And when I forgive, it releases me to greater freedom and fullness and joy and expression of my unique self. And that's why it's so important to talk about and practice forgiveness as part of dream building, because it can be a big monster in the gap. And for most people, that's been my experience, is this is an important section. So every act has some aspect of love. It's like that coin that I talk about so often. There's two sides of the coin. So love is either an expression of love or a call for love. And many of us are unskilled at that. In fact, I had an experience with that last night where my husband was doing something that I thought was funny, and I giggled. And he didn't think it was funny that I giggled. And so what I thought was an expression of love in that situation, I was quite unskilled at. And when he shared with me that he didn't like that so much, me giggling, then I could then go a little bit deeper and share with him that I really, really, my giggle was out of happiness and that I really appreciated what he had done, which was be outside mowing the lawn last night, which was not a pleasant thing. And so in this situation, I was unskilled initially and then was able to share that I viewed mowing the lawn when it was 95 degrees as an act of love. So this forgiveness doesn't really mean that I hang out with people who are hurtful, and I certainly don't put myself in the path of people who are hurtful, but it does mean that I can better understand and have compassion towards someone else's behavior. Compassion is the beginning of forgiveness. And I do some additional work with Tim Kelly's work, which is really shadow work on forgiveness and self-compassion. And one of the practices that I really love is to look at when there is something out there that I would have trouble forgiving, to look at where in me I have even the slightest potential to do the same thing. And one of the examples in his work is a murder. And the question is, do I have even 1/100 of 1% of the capacity to murder? The truth is, yes, if someone I love is at risk, I or myself, I absolutely have the capacity to murder. And so forgiveness is really noticing also in yourself where you have that capacity, which can give you access to compassion for the other, not their action, but the other as a human being. So forgiveness is a shift in perception. It's a shift in perception that removes a block to me in the awareness of love's presence. So really, that block was in me all along, and forgiveness takes the binders off. It takes the anchor off. Forgiveness enables me to see that love is always present everywhere. And forgiveness is a process. We all learn to walk by standing up, giving it a try, and falling down. And I love to say, you know, as an adult, if I had to learn to walk now, I question the tenacity of actually being able to go through all of those falls that I know I went through as part of learning how to stand up all the time, or most of the time. I remember moving from Los Angeles to Northern California, and I was used to sidewalks, kind of like we are here in Dallas. And we moved in the fall, so I didn't have a clue what was happening when I was on a hillside, and the ground was covered with leaves that were wet. And I couldn't stand up for the first week that we lived there, because I really had to learn that when you were walking on wet leaves on a slope, you had to adapt. So it's the same thing with forgiveness. We may not be great at it at first, and it's a practice that we learn and incorporate into life. The most profound story about forgiveness in my life actually is from my divorce. And I think I may have shared with you, and I'll share again, that my ex-husband fell in love with an employee of ours in a store that we own, and wanted a divorce for me. He fell in love with her. And I was able to forgive him fairly quickly. And I was not able to forgive her for almost a year. It was, you know, she had done me wrong, right? And she was a friend of mine. So there was really a betrayal there. And when I finally realized, and actually let me back up, one of my mentors actually said, pray for her. So whenever you pray for good things for yourself, add her in. The first time I did it, as you can imagine, and God, I love, and give all this, please provide all this for Dana too, and I wanted to throw up. Kind of like some of the examples on the recording. And what I realized after I had developed a practice of that is that really all I wanted from her was an apology. And then I realized that even if she apologized, I wouldn't believe her. Because the apology really didn't matter. She couldn't break me of the chain, of the binder, by apologizing. I had to do it. I had to just forgive. And in that moment of realization that really I was hanging on to, waiting for an apology, I was able to release her. So that's just an example of, and for me, a profound example of me being able to release and let myself out of jail. In the book Eat, Pray, Love, Liz Gilbert talks about desperately wanting to talk with her ex-husband so she could have herself understood and experience some sort of forgiveness. And instead, her process of forgiveness ended up being a dream in which they met each other in the dream and were able to connect. And that served as the reminder of love being always present. So a lot of people ask, what if you can't seem to forgive? And that's the perspective on that is sometimes we've done all the work that we can on forgiveness, and we've gotten to a place of understanding, compassion, and still on that human level, the connection seems impossible. The forgiveness just seems to not be coming and seems to not be possible. And that is when we can take solace in the fact that on a spiritual plane, our souls are just fine. Our souls completely understand each other. It's that human oneness, our human connection. And the souls are forever connected. We're joyful and happy. And in the absence of actually working all the way through forgiveness, that we can still declare that love is present and that forgiveness is present. So what if any questions came up this week around noticing, came up this week around forgiveness? What would you like to share or ask?
What I really have found is that forgiveness is a gift you give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a platitude, but it's the truth. Because once you do, then the room is there to move on or develop a different relationship. And sometimes it's just backing off and seeing how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, it's like carrying around one of those kettlebells at the gym.
Great vision.
Yes,
yeah.
Because it's got a handle on it and everything. So you just, you know, just pack it along with your purse. Only it's noticeable.
And you have to hang on to it. That's the thing.
And you can't drop it on your foot. It'll hurt again.
That's great. Great image. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And what questions did you have out of this week's work?
What
was that?
I didn't understand what you asked.
Oh, what if any questions did you have?
I don't think I have any questions about it right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Was that Jody or Cynthia?
That was Jody.
Okay. Awesome. And Dodie, what did you notice about forgiveness in your life this week as part of doing the work?
I think I need some more time with it.
Okay. Okay. And let's get curious about that. Like, what did you notice around needing more time?
Well, I think that for one thing, when I was doing the exercise, I had a hard time thinking of, you know, the exercise set in on the pages, the workbook said, think of someone who has wronged you who you have not yet truly forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the thought, well, you know, I think I should be grateful that I can't really think of anybody.
Yeah.
Because so maybe that's something that I already kind of do, is I just let things go when somebody does something that I think is wrong or that I didn't like or whatever. Maybe that's something that I already do, is let it go, because I couldn't think really of more than one or two big things.
Mm-hmm.
And I did write those down, but like I said, I just couldn't think of anything.
Okay. Beautiful. So, you know, I was curious. One thing I noticed was the sense of gratitude about that there weren't a lot of people there, as it relates to the previous conversation, and blessing the things that are around you on a regular basis. So just as a place to notice that maybe you bless things more than you think you do, with blessing the fact that there may not be a lot of people that, as I like the saying, who are not safe in the hallways of my mind. So, congratulations. And I think it's awesome if you want to sit in the inquiry. Sometimes what I've noticed with clients is around forgiveness that somebody pops up, next week, you know, as you let this work. Because we'll spend quite a bit of time in conversation about forgiveness, both for others and for ourselves. So a lot of times what people find is people do come up after, as you're saying, Dodie, after some time sitting with it. And I invite you both to look at, in addition to others, is that what is there to forgive yourself for? Where in your life can you bring compassion for yourself? because in this particular chapter, that's also part of forgiveness, is inside and forgiveness of self. What other questions do you have, either of you?
Well, I definitely was not thinking of it in terms of forgiveness of myself. And when you said that, it's like, oh, there's probably some work to do there.
Beautiful. And how can we support you in that? Would that be something you'd like to share next week, because when we do the recap of this week, can I share what came up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just, I do tend to fret and beat myself up about things that I haven't gotten done, things I wanted to do and planned to do or intended to do, and haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably needs some more thought.
Okay, beautiful. Well, what would support you in going through that process? Would it be doing the worksheets, running through them again with that new perspective? Would it be, like I suggested, sharing with us next week what you noticed? You choose. What would be supportive so we can hold that energy for you throughout the week?
Well, I can go through the worksheets again, thinking of it in those terms rather than thinking about external.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Just a different focus.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. And we will hold that energy and invite you to share when we go through the review next week what you noticed.
Okay,
beautiful. What other questions or noticing came up while I was speaking?
The biggest thing for me is getting my vision statement. I guess I have this perfection gene. And so it's continuing to work on that to make it say what I want, you know, to happen and to be in the next 3 years.
Okay.
Is to put feet to it instead of just head.
Mm. Yes, put heart to it. Beautiful. So one of the things that is always a standing offer is as you go through revision in your vision, if you will send them to me, particularly in Word documents, I will highlight areas, I will make comments and suggestions and perspectives in the margins for you. So that's an ongoing process that you're welcome to send them when you have. It's like I hate to say major revision because that's a sliding scale, but you'll know. I'll trust that you'll know when you're complete with the next revision, and then send them on, please, whenever you're ready.
Okay, or maybe even some things that I have questions about, you might give me suggestions on how to phrase it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So even that can be in a little email, as an example, like I'd like some words or a sense of how to go deeper into feelings and in a particular area, and I can offer some perspective there.
Okay.
Great. Anything else? Any other questions or observations this week before we move into life work and next week's conversation?
I guess the biggest thing for me was the wind. But one of the things in this last year that I have forgiven was my mother.
Mm.
So the difference this year and before is when she would say something that was negative or whatever, deep down inside, it's like this, you know, walnut or something going, yep, just doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't had the benefit of any of this psychology or anything else. She lives where she lives,
mm-hmm.
in herself.
Mm. Beautiful. And
the biggest thing to me is I'm not in the fixing business anymore.
In the fixing business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What's that feel like for you? What did you notice? What do you make of that?
It's like a weight's gone. I guess I put down one of those kettlebells.
Yeah.
But and the thing I'm grateful for is that I'm able to have a relationship or to be pleased or happy, you know, to share the time instead of, well, I'm the person here that has to do it.
Mm. Beautiful. And what if anything, did you notice about your own energy as you set down that kettlebell?
It increases. It's mm-hmm. like you quit carrying that weight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like one of the things that I've worked on doing is when I recognize a negative word, it's like a little red flag goes up and goes, gotta put some work right there or effort.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Your share just reminded me of Dodie's question earlier, which was, what are the triggers that you were actually asking for triggers for moving into a blessing? And sometimes words can really be those triggers, words from yourself, like a critical word about yourself, or a word that's critical from another. So one of the things early on in this work that I would notice is that if I did something that either embarrassed me or anything that I was critical about myself for, I would notice that my words to myself were not very kind. And one of the practices I've taken on is just to replace them with, you can do this. Or to notice when I was harsh with myself and say, just stop it. Right then. So sometimes words can be a trigger too. As you increase your awareness, that may be something to look for, a particular way in which you talk to yourself. So thank you, Cynthia, for bringing that up.
Sure.
All right. Let's move into life work for this week. And one of the suggestions is to implement a daily practice, which is simply a question. What is there for me to forgive today? And the inquiry will support you in continuing this work, to look at anything at all, the even the most simple thing and bringing compassion and love to it will free you up just a little bit and then a little bit more. So simply the question, what is there for me to forgive today, will generate things. Your brain will go into action, providing you with information. Another thing that is optional for you is to list three sacred friends in your life and list the ways in which they have enabled your heart to expand. So my ex-husband certainly is a sacred friend. He has allowed me to open my heart and transform my life out of the actions that he chose. So this is an opportunity to look at sacred friends from your past, where now you can be grateful for the opportunity for growth that they provided. The other thing, and I'm not sure that I talked about this, is that CD number 17 is actually a meditation. And so there's an opportunity as often as you can to listen to that meditation. And for next week, listen to CD 11. So just one this week, CD 11, and do the exercises in your workbook. And as we wrap up, any other questions that you might have?
When you said listen to a meditation, which one was that?
17.
Like, what's 17?
Pardon me?
You said 17?
17. There should be a CD number 17.
Okay.
If there's not, let me know, and I'll record mine. But you should have CD 17.
Okay.
Beautiful. All right. And you both got my message about skipping next week. I think you both replied that that would be okay. So thank you for your flexibility on that.
And today, so we're good still.
I'm so glad I texted you. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful. All right. If there are no other questions, I will see you in 2 weeks. Same time, same place in 2 weeks. And if you do have revisions on your dreams, please, or on your vision, please, please, please send them my way. So thank you for our time together today. And I acknowledge and thank you for the work that you're doing, the insights that you're gaining, and your willingness to explore and expand your awareness. So thank you for that. Thank you for giving that to each other. Thank you for giving that to yourself. And I will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.